Okay, we're learning Masechtas Brachos. We're on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, toward the bottom. We're up to, I believe, four lines to the bottom. Maybe we touched upon this. Yeah. Darshim Simloi. The Oyelum is Sader Adam, Shvachos Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Beachachach Yispalel. So we've been learning up until this point the two great averus that the Bnei Israel had committed, the Egel HaZahav and that of the Meraglim, yet we find that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to intervene on their behalf, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mekabel his tefilos. So therefore we see that this is what Moshe Rabbeinu had the capacity to do for the Klal, and probably he should have been able to do it for himself. And what happened? We find that you have to be a sader shvachos shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. First, you praise Hashem. V'yachin yispalel. We touched upon this. I think we concluded this way. And afterwards, you daven. Menolan, how do we see that you don't just jump in asking the Kadosh Baruch Hu, give me this, give me that? But first, you have to start saying other attributes. Hakel, Gadol, Gibor, V'noyira. Ah, Baruch Hashem. I don't know. Welcome. You have a ticket. Permission or anything? Oh, matzah. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Pesach Sheni. Yeah, very good. So, Menolan, we learn this from Moshe. Three lines from the bottom. What do we see from Moshe? Menem Nechsev, Veschanan El Hashem Beis Ahi. Veschanan says that Moshe was davening, and we're familiar that this is referring to that when he was unable to go into Eretz Israel, because of the chet that he had committed because of hitting the rock, or perhaps by calling Klal Yisrael rebels, which in itself downgrading, demeaning Klal Yisrael means you're always the leader, so you can't be a leader anymore. Regardless, Veschanan El Hashem Esahi, he davened, V'ksiv Hashem Elokim Atach Eloisa Laharos Esavdecha, says, you Hashem, you have caused me to see your servant as Godcha, your greatness, as Yadcha Chazaka, your outstretched hand. Hashem, me kill b'shamayim aretz. There's no one else in this world. It's only you, Hashem, who fills the heavens and the earth. Asher yaseh k'masecha v'kvurasecha. Who could possibly do that which is your handiwork, that which is your actions, all your strength? You're the greatest God. By the way, do me a favor. Go ahead and please let me see this great land. Let me see the land of Eretz Yisrael. And some people say, and of course he stopped, you know, because Hashem said, don't daven anymore, because he was davening so much with such kavanah. We're going to see on Amud Beis how a person who davens with the true kavanah is actually able to change Metzius, anything that was decreed upon him. It's actually brought down in Chazal, which I'm not going to see, I'm not going to read this to you, but some actually say, the Chassam Sofer and others, that he davened 515 tefillos. Where did he come up with that arbitrary, strange number? Because that's what the numerical value of Veschanan is. So Veschanan, which is an unusual language of tefillah, means that he davened that many tefillos, or maybe if you could say he davened this one tefillah, but it had the capacity or the impact and power of 515 tefillos. And all the Mefarshim go over that it's referring to after, of course, the water stopped because Miriam died, and then if you would track when they were lacking water and when he actually he was decreed that he couldn't go into Eretz Israel until his death, which is Zayin Adar. Some say there's a calculation of including davening three times a day, 515. There's all these different ways of calculating how to get to that, which is, again, the Gematria 515. But the point that Moshe is trying to teach us is that what we first need to do is we first have to establish a relationship. That's really what it's talking about. It's not with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and also with people, Basar Adam. And that you can't just expect things back. If you're wanting something from someone, you have to first give to them. If you're willing to give to them, you open to them, then they'll be able to potentially give back to you. It's the same thing by Kodesh Baruch Hu. What?
The Nasman is forward and backwards.
That's right.
So
right.
If you give, you get.
Right. That's right. That's right. And that's what that's really what our tefillos are showing by us opening up and acknowledging that we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then Hashem says, "Oh, who are you? You know, you're asking me, what are you doing here?" So the fact is that that's what we do in our tefillos as well. Our first three brachos that we say are not asking for anything, but they're praising Hashem. We're acknowledging and praising the greatness of Hashem, which is the establishing of our relationship. And then once we have a relationship with Hashem, we have a communication with Hashem, then we can start asking Hashem for things. And then we see in the parentheses, a simon masim, sedaka, carbon, coin, tinus, manal, barzel. We're going to see that all those are a mnemonic so that we'll remember the Gemaras which come up on Lamed Beis and Beis. Very powerful, meaningful Gemaras we have right here. Amar Belazar, Gedola Tefila Yosim Masim Tovim. Says that out of the two, what's better, being a good person, being kind, or Tefila Davening? So, better is Tefila. So, what does that mean? You could daven and then go out on the street and cheat in business? So, if you look in Tosfos says, no. It means below Tefila. Masim Tovim. Without tefillah, Shahari Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Shalom, Afal Pi Shahayu B'Yadu Masim Tovim, Husrif L'Tefillah. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu obviously did a lot of great things in his life, nonetheless, in order to be able to potentially go to Canaan, to Eretz Yisrael, he had to daven. So therefore, that's how Tosfos explains this, that tefillah is greater than Masim Tovim alone without tefillah. So tefillah in itself is when we say no, Masim Tovim is not enough. Right, you need tefillah.
But his Masim Tovim began when he went into the Iraq and Greece, but he didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. So his Masim Marsov.
Right, that might have been a chisaron in himself in his Masim Tovim for that one, on his Madrega at that time. So let's see, this is what the Gemara says. Shein lecha gadol b'masim tovim yosim b'moshe rabbeinu. There was no one greater in Masim Tovim than Moshe. Such as Moshe, we think of is the Makabel Torah. He's the greatest Navi. There was no one greater in Masim Tovim than Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Because he was our teacher. He guided us. He gave us everything. His whole life. He was Moshe Nefesh. He even was willing to erase his name from the Torah for the sake of Klal Yisrael. He was offered, as we saw in Amud Aleph, the opportunity for bigger and better things. Get rid of this nation. Move on. And he said, absolutely not, I can't do that. So he gave up everything of himself for another person. That's the ultimate level of Masim Tovim. Ahol Pikein lo nena elo b'tfila. Nonetheless, when he was answered, it was only answered because of his prayers. Shenemar, as Hashem says, al toysev davar elai. Don't talk to me anymore. Stop davening already. The samach le olo resh episka. Then he was told that he could ascend the mountain. So he wasn't allowed to go into Canaan. For whatever reason, he couldn't go into Canaan. That Hashem didn't feel it was appropriate for him to do so. And some people explain that Moshe's existence was based on the Bnei Israel who were a midbar existence. In the wilderness, they had a different mentality. And therefore, they looked at Moshe Rabbeinu as the person who helped facilitate receiving the Torah. But also, everything was given to them. Everything was handed to them, always. And therefore, they might have needed a different leader as they went into Eretz Yisrael, in which they'd be fighting and working the land. So they kind of needed a new shift of leadership. That's how some people explain it.
But look, Yeshua was involved in all this stuff that he was there throughout the whole thing also.
So he was being mentored. He was learning about what it means to be an effective and good leader. But at the same time, he certainly was a very different person. He went out there. He was a spy. You know, he went to, he did the hashtadlus and effort. But you know, it's a.
But Moshe also defeated the Og Melech of Bashan.
Hanami, of course, it's true. I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu. But that's how it's not necessarily Lavdafka Chisaron in Moshe, but in the Klal Yisrael, their perception of him. It would be difficult for them to be able to just move on to do something completely different under the same leadership. All right. So this is coming to teach us the message of the koach of tefillah. It's because even though it does a masim tovim, so I do a good action, so it's still me, you know, I decide to be nice, so I decide to help you. but it's still the same person as I was yesterday. The koyach of tefillah, which is also of tshuva, is that it has the capacity to completely change you, to make you like a different metzias. That by you reconnecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're disconnecting yourself from your sinful past, and then you become different. You become a completely new person. So therefore, some say the koach of tefillah is because of that very reason. Because Hashem was goyzer. We talked a little bit on Shabbos by Perkei Avos. Hashem makes a gezer upon a person, but how could it be a change? The koach of tshuva is because the gezerah was is not me. It's a different person, and therefore, that's what tefillah, a real tefillah, can really change that person. And some people, you can think about this. It's worthwhile spending time wondering the three tefillah, tshuva, tzedakah, ma'abir nesar gezerah. It's also the capacity we see tzedakah also that. On the opposite extreme, we know that when a person is loses all of his money, right, on his chashiv kemes, right, so, and we know that it's possible that money has the capacity to corrupt, God forbid, or also can elevate a person very much. That's why mammon is the gematria of sulam, of a ladder, because you can elevate or go down. So all these three different things, and by giving tzedakah, it's not just handing money over to a person, but it's also giving something of yourself, like, so therefore your metzias on some level has changed. So all these different ways is the reason why your gezeiros can change, and for that reason tefillah is so great. Continue with the Gemara. Ve'amar b'lazer gadol tainis yorisim in the tzedakah. My taima, ze begufo v'ze mimona. So if you would look at two things, fasting or giving charity, it's greater, the koyach of tainis is more powerful. Why? Because one is with your guf, and one is your money. So your money, even though, you know, what is your worth? People think that it's actually, that's me. But the truth is, it's obviously not me. It's at the very least in some extension.
I should give you the money, so.
Yeah, so it's mine, it's not, whatever. But your guf is you, right? It's yourself. So the fact that a person fasts, it has more of an ability to have an impact than tzedakah. So why would we contrast these two? If we remember, I always say this divorce, it's so true. The Gemara in the first parak says different rewards for certain actions. And the Gemara says in Davav, Agra Titanisa Sikosa. The reward for the fasting is the tzedakah that you give. That's what the Gemara says on Davav. Agra Titanisa Sikosa. And we said the reason for that is when a person fasts, it's the one time of the year that you're actually hungry, and perhaps you'll have a sensitivity that you've never had before of what does it feel like to be lacking. And therefore, when you see someone poor, you who really is always lacking, you'll be more sensitive, you'll give to them.
You even taught last year in the Shema Subhutama is about when you fast, you should take the money that you would have paid for the food that you pay and give it to the stuff
Right. So for some people, that's a lot more money than others. Depends also where you go out to eat for lunch and dinner. But so that's the idea. That's the reason why the Gemara compares a tainus and tzedakah, because there is a direct connection. Because when a person fasts, that is a way that a person will end up giving more charity. That you'll realize that, you know, there are people out there that are suffering because you finally sensed and felt their pain. V'yomar b'lazer g'doyla tefila yoyser karbanos. So, unfortunately, we had no Beis HaMikdash. That's unfortunate. Beis HaMikdash destroyed. And all we have is our tefilos. But the truth is, g'doyla tefila yoyser karbanos. That our tefilos are greater than karbanos. Shnemar. Because the Pasuk says, l'mili roiv zichechem. So when Yeshaya was speaking about all the numerous karbanos that a person can give, he said, why, on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem was wondering, why do I need all these offerings? I don't need them for. Well, what do I need them? Ksiv, and then it says, Ufrishachem kapechem, that you should spread out your hands, which is really referring to like Nesias Kapayim, but also is referring to one prostrates and davens and shows their dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, one way of reading this is that Yeshaya said that Hashem doesn't want the karbanos, but spread out your hands, you can daven. There, Rashi doesn't read it that way because that's not really the pshat in the pasuk. Rashi says you look in the second line over here, that really Yeshaya was saying that Hashem also didn't want our tefillos either. But the chiddush is, says Rashi, the second line from the top, Ilav, if it was not for the fact that gedol tefillah, that tefillah is greater, kivan diyamer lomli rav zichechem, if the greater impact that we could have is the karbanos, so all he would need to say is, don't even bring the karbanos, lomli, why does he need sum, furthermore, to continue the rest of the pasuk, ufrishachem, which is saying that you should also not daven. Ha'afil zivchechem l'nichle. It says you don't even want the daven, it doesn't even want your karbanos. The fact, that's the real meaning of the pasuk, that Yeshaya was saying that Hashem is rejecting not only our karbanos, but even our tefillos, because of the order, right? Because if karbanos were more important, then just say, Hashem doesn't want your karbanos. And then you would understand, like through a kal v'chomer, obviously Hashem doesn't want our tefillos. The fact is, the way that it's read, is Hashem doesn't want your karbanos, and by the way, even your tefillos Hashem is not being mekabel. Obviously, when you think about this, what is the significance of this? The whole concept of karbanos, which we talked about in Parshas Vayikra, I spoke about this shout this year in Parshas Vayikra. Why do we have the whole question? I mean, what are we doing? We seem barbaric. We're right. Destroying animals. Yeah, 2010. So the idea of a karban is it's an external stimuli that a person is able to look upon and to be able to reflect on who they are. That when, and I use the example of kaparos, that it's brought down, that it says that when you do kaparos on Erev Yom Kippur, whatever, you know, it's not that, okay, good, now I'm free because the bird has all my sins, right? The idea is that you look at this bird and you say, everything that's happening to it, really, I deserve that should be happening to me, right? The fact that that Hashem gives me all the blessings in my life is precisely that. It's a blessing, not because I deserve it, not because I've earned it, because it's a gift. So it's a gift that Hashem gave. So it's a way to be able to inspire a person to change. That's why karbanos, that's the positive of a karban. But if a person just brings karbanos just for the sake of bringing it, and they don't actually grow from that experience, it's just taking some animals and having them slaughtered, it means it doesn't really mean anything to Hashem. Hashem is lomli rav zivchechem. Why are you killing animals? It's you're destroying animals for no reason. But when it comes to a tefillah, a true tefillah is the whole purpose of a karban is to inspire the heart. So if you're able to have a true tefillah in which is an avodah shivaleiv, which is a heartfelt tefillah, which you're really opening up your heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the ultimate level of what we're trying to accomplish with karbanos. So therefore, that's why tefillah is greater than a karban, because the karban only brings you to that level. But a tefillah in itself, the proper tefillah, is an avodah shebaleiv. But again, it's harder to do that because we daven all the time, say the same words all the time, and it becomes rote and routine. And not having something in front of us as a reminder is the challenge to be able to have that level of inspiration.
We had Rabbi Grebler, the Eruv Rosh Chodesh here, and he said, when you get to the Ozer Dalet, the Omer Li Amo, the Eshav Amela.
Right.
So a guy's a millionaire, he says, what are you saying? The Ozer Dalet, the Omer Li Amo, the Eshav Amela. So he says,
skip that sentence, yeah. You should skip that sentence, right?
I know. What is the person? So you said a very good word. You have to say it very slowly and imagine yourself if you did as if you didn't have anything at all. When you're saying that pasuk, say, my feel is that I'm putting myself in front of you as if I don't have anything.
Right.
You have to make yourself feel like you don't have anything.
Right.
Then you will understand what it is for Isadab and by Nelly
Arm. Right. And the Messiah says we are Dalim because without Hashem we really have nothing. We are really completely dependent on God for everything. So everything, even though we do have everything, it's like we're holding it and we're being entrusted to use all the gifts that we have properly. Okay. But it's a very good shot. When I become wealthy I'll think of that boy. Omer Rav Yochanan.
Baruch Hashem.
Oh, you're right. Kol koyin shaharges a nefesh lo yises kapo. Shnem yedeichem domim molu. So hopefully there's no kohanim over here.
Nothing.
Kol koyin shaharges a nefesh chas v'shalom. If a koyin has taken the life of a human, being Lisa's kapov, he's no longer allowed to duchen. Why? Shenemar, as the pasuk says, and the reason why it seemingly has nothing to do with it, but you can see it's the same sefer and parak, it's taken from the beginning of Sefer Yeshaya, Yedeichem domim molu. It's because their hands are filled with blood.
Yeah, another,
I'm not familiar with all these halachos. Thank goodness no one actually asked me to paskin that type of a shayla. But I'm pretty sure so. I believe so. But this is the connection over here, is that Hashem doesn't even want you to raise your hands to duchen because they are filled with blood. Right? Which, obviously, that's the literal, the halacha that's derived from it. But the message, the deeper message is, and then we're saying that that's an inyan of tefillah, is that Hashem doesn't want our prayers if our hands are filled with blood, which means that if we're sinful and all we're doing is just moving our lips and saying a bunch of words, but we're not actually good people, then Hashem doesn't want our tefillahs. Obviously, it doesn't mean a person shouldn't be discouraged and say, okay, I'm not davening anymore. You should continue to daven. But the message is that it's not all about the words. It's not a lip service. It's something which should change you and transform you to be a better person. And that's what Hashem is saying, that I don't want your davening if it's not going to affect you, that you're still going to have blood on your hands. That's the real meaning behind it.
So many kohanim go to Filchas ben Eliezer with Chazbi Barkil and Chazbi Bar, the Hashmonayim were kohanim.
Right.
So they all, because none of them were able to do what they were at the base of Mikdash.
David HaMelech couldn't build the Beit HaMikdash because he had the other of his head.
He wasn't a Kohen. Now we're talking about Kohen.
But the point is that...
And does the Gemara mean literally killing? Or does Gemara mean somebody who's Lamas Pnei Chaveira is also considered
right. I hope not, otherwise we're going to be skipping Duchening. Not you, Chas V'Shalom.
In other words, the Gemara is killing you, that
everybody. Well, Chas V'Shalom.
The conduct of a Kohen has to be...
Isn't it true that if a Kohen has any argument or like somebody in a shul, he's not supposed to go up and do it?
I mean, the last word in the bracha is be'ahava, right? So it's, they actually have to have a feeling of love for the people that they're davening for. And a person who murders, which is the ultimate level of taking as opposed to love, which is all about giving, so they're lacking in their ability to really to give a bracha to the people. So let me just see this very quickly. It's in Simen Kuf Chaf Ches Lamed Hey. Let me just see what it says over here it's in the second chelek. Just go quickly to see what it says. Not usually a halacha that a lot of people spend too much time learning a maisa, but it's worthwhile just taking a peek at. So it's Simen Kuf Chaf Ches Sif Lamed Hey. It's a pretty lengthy simen, which talks about Nesias Kapayim. And it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and I'll just read what it says here, the following. It says, Kohen Shehargas HaNefesh, Afil B'Shogeg. Here's your answer. Lo yises kapov, right? So it says a kohen who kills someone, even if it was b'shogeg, so he didn't do it on purpose, he was negligent, whatever, however you define shogeg, manslaughter. Lo yises kapov, he's not the duchen. Afil osa tshuva. Unbelievable. That's unbelievable. Even if you did tshuva. There's a little asterisk over here. But he says, v'yesh omrim, the Ramah says, de'im osa tshuva noisi kapov. So the Ramah, if you're Ashkenaz, I guess we believe in tshuva a little bit more, or whatever, you can do them. Veishal hokel al bali tshuva, shlo lino delis bifnehem, b'hochi nohug. He says a very, very powerful word, that we don't want to slam a door in front of someone. If a person, if you say, right, person, you can never do tshuva, like we learned about Acher, you can't do tshuva, so he's going to say, forget it, so I'm going to just go off the derech and there's nothing I can do about it. So we want to encourage, we wouldn't want that person to feel so discouraged, and therefore he wouldn't be able to change. And it quotes, obviously, our Gemara, and it says, the Mishnah Berurah says, V'im anasuhu laharog, Noises kapov. If it was ba'ones, it was beyond your control. It was by force. But it means that it was beyond your control. A complete accident, right? Then noises kapov. The alpha god the ritzicha kaimulan the aharig val yavor mikol makom im avar v'neherag v'mifsul nesias kapay mishvil zeh. Oh, this is actually saying a very novel concept. There's a halacha when it comes to the three cardinal averos that if a person would put a gun to your head and say, kill that guy or I'm going to kill you, you have to give up your own life. Right? Obviously, you have to try to defend yourself. But you're not allowed to kill someone. So that's when it says that you kill someone ba'ones, it means that you went against the halacha and you actually killed someone because it was your life or theirs because you were forced to do it. And you did the wrong thing, and you took someone else's life. Nonetheless, you're still allowed to do nesias kapayim in that situation, even though you did something wrong, because you're supposed to have your life taken as opposed to taking someone else's life. Because who says that your life is any better than the other person? Fine, and that's what it's brought down in the halacha. So even b'shogeg, you would not be allowed to do tzedukin. If a person did tshuva, see the tshuva. What does tshuva mean? That's obviously a good question, exactly. But you know a person that literally was a murderer and went to jail or whatever, and now he's back in your community. What is tshuva? Yes, obviously you have to know the person. So let's see, one more piece of more. Yom Rebelazar. So we see, it's still, we have Rebelazar continuing. He says, Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, the time in which the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, in which we had this very close relationship to Hashem, Ninel Shar Tefillah. Our tefillos, the gates, were closed. And therefore, it's much harder for us to be able to, for Hashem to listen to our tefillos, because Hashem distanced Himself from us, because we distanced ourselves from Him. Shenemer Gam Ki Ezak V'Yishav, even at the time when I cry and scream out to Hashem, Shosem Tefillosi, my tefillos are closed. That's what it says in And where is it taken from? From Eicha, right? So Eicha, we read about on the Chorban HaBayis, the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, on Tisha B'Av. But then we have this unbelievable sentence. V'yaf al pi shishar tefil ninol. Even though the gates of prayers, those gates are closed and locked up, and it's harder to be able to smash the lock to get our prayers through. Shar dimol ninol. When it comes to the gates of tears, that is never closed. When it comes to our tears, that has the capacity that Hashem will always listen to our tefillos. Shenemar shama tefillosi Hashem, listen to my tefillos. Shavasi ha'azina, and that you should allow your ears to hear el demasi, and you should listen to my tears. You should hear them. Al techarosh, they should not be silent. So we see that it's the whole concept, the greatest level of tefillah is, they say, like, there's no real Haggadah unless it has wine stains on it, and there's no real Siddur unless it has tear stains on it. That's what they say. And therefore, that's what a real tefillah is, that a person is really completely opening up themselves to Hashem. Rav lo gozer tanisa b'yoyima de'eva. Again, we have another thing which seems to be a little bit, again, not related, but it's also taken from Eicha, that when it came to a cloudy day, he would never be gozer a tainus. The purpose of a tainus, let's say it was not because they're looking for rain, and oh good, it's a cloudy day, so it's going to rain. Let's say there was some tragedy, it was b'yom tzara, and they wanted to daven so Hashem should help them for whatever it is. If it was a cloudy day, he said, okay, we're not fasting. Why? Yishum shenemar, Sakhusa ba'anan loch ma'avr tefillah. It says that the sakhusa, it sounds like the word schach, that it's covered up with clouds. It is to you. Ma'avr tefillah, the prayers have passed. So when you have these clouds, it's almost like a wall which is separating our prayers to Hashem. And that's how he understood this. But we also know, what does that mean? We know that we are affected by our environment. We know that the past couple of days when it was a little gloomy and rainy, so some people were a little bit, agitated. On a beautiful day like this, which we're going to go outside and enjoy, it's a complete, you have a different feeling. You feel good, you feel great. And therefore, that is the best time to be able to daven. Not when a person is down, not, you don't fast at a time when you're not, you're, you know, you're down, but rather when things are beautiful, when things are good, and you're able to look up to the Shemayim, and again, to be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by appreciating and loving and being happy about His world, and then hopefully Hashem will be able to cobble all of our tefillos.